Liberty Roundtable Radio with Sam Bushman.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. It's March for Life Day in the nation's capital. Pro-lifers from across the country showing up each year to take a stand for life. This year's gathering, the 50th annual march, and the first one since the Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade.
While there's much to celebrate that we have seen the ability for many states to create and enact laws that would restrict or stop abortion in their states, we know even from the news cycle that the pro-abortion side is still very active.
Herbie Newell with Lifeline Christian Services saying the fight is far from over. Today's march to step off at noon in D.C. Well, you might think that reporters and their persistent questioning goes with the territory if you're president of the United States. Nonetheless, President Biden appears to be getting fed up with it, at least when it comes to the classified document scandal.
We're fully cooperating, looking forward to getting this resolved quickly.
President Biden on a visit to California.
There's no there.
He was in California to see the damage left by a series of winter storms that have swept through the state since December. But he bristled at reporters' persistent questioning about the discovery of classified documents and official records at his home and former office.
What, quite frankly, bugs me is that we have a serious problem here we're talking about. We're talking about what's going on, and the American people don't quite understand why you don't ask me questions about that.
I'm Ben Thomas.
Hey. The investigation into the leak of a landmark Supreme Court abortion decision has so far come up empty. We still don't know who leaked a draft opinion on Roe versus Wade. Despite a thorough analysis of the forensic evidence and interviews with almost 100 people, the court says it has yet to identify a suspect. On Wall Street, Dow futures down 19 points, NASDAQ futures up 65. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews. But now, we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Political unrest in Peru. Demonstrators demanding that President Dina Boluarte resign, returning power to her predecessor who was removed from office last month.
Police fired tear gas to try to subdue thousands of protesters who have poured into the Peruvian capital, many from remote Andean regions. Demonstrators scuffling with security forces who barred them from reaching key government buildings, including Congress, as well as business and residential districts of the capital, Lima. During a national broadcast, Boluarte said there was no real benefit in the demands behind the protests and the chaos and disorder aimed to take over the government. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
French President Macron proposing a substantial boost in defense spending through the end of this decade and a transformation of France's nuclear-armed military to face new and evolving threats. News and analysis, townhall.com. Netflix subscriber base is growing again.
The growth is providing an early sign that Netflix's shift to include ads in a cheaper version of its video streaming service is helping combat tougher competition and attract cost-conscious customers grappling with inflation. The company disclosed a gain of 7.7 million subscribers during the October to December period, a stretch that included the debut of an ad-supported option for $7 per month. It's the second straight quarter of strong subscriber growth after two quarters of losses.
That's correspondent Jeremy House. A heads up for T-Mobile customers. The wireless carrier says hackers have stolen data on 37 million customers. The breach occurred in late November. It was discovered 2 weeks ago. The exposed info did not include bank account or credit card information, social security numbers, or passwords. More on these stories, townhall.com.
Atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This is the broadcast for January the 20th in the year of our Lord, 2023. This is our one of two. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, to do so using the supreme law of the land, the Constitution of the United States of America, to do so using the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founders, rejecting revolution, standing for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Two incredible guests today, Dr. Scott Bradley, always with me on Mondays and Fridays. Welcome, sir.
Well, good morning to you, Sam, and, of course, to everyone that's listening. Glad to be here.
There you have it. We also have Alex Newman with us, well-known reporter, writer, speaker, everything else under the sun. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Great to be here. Thank you for having me, Sam.
Now, where are you right now, Alex? Let's get a quick update on that real quick.
I am in Nashville, Tennessee for the Reawaken America tour. So I just arrived here last night from Florida.
Wonderful. Let's get a quick update to start out and say, hey, where or what's going on at that conference, Alex?
Well, they've been happening across the country. It's, put on by Clay Clark and General Flynn. It's a big rally for people who love God and country and are tired of the deep state running over us. So,
Dr. Bradley, what do you say to that?
Well, we definitely need more friends in this cause of liberty battle. I hope it's awakening, as the title might suggest, a great number of Americans across the country. I suspect that there probably are, you're gathering a lot of people that already are focused on that. I hope you're casting, well, maybe it's not you, obviously, but I hope a wide net's being cast to gather as many as we can. We liberty needs a lot more friends, and we need a lot fewer in the arena that seems to be prevalent in so many areas. I mean, the red wave that didn't happen, for example, is an indication of how deep the problem really is in this country, I'm afraid.
Alex?
Yeah, well, you know, I think reinforcements are coming little by little. I think as more and more people realize that we're being deceived, that we've been lied to on a massive scale, that, we're losing so much liberty, so many constitutionally protected rights. People are waking up, and that's really encouraging. And these rallies, you know, they bring together 5,000-10,000 people, and then these people go out, they fan out in their communities, and hopefully continue the awakening. So.
Can I be super blunt? I appreciate the 5,000 and 10,000 people come out, and it's a great rally, and it's great education and all that kind of stuff, but does it really change the game, or do people just eat and retreat, Alex?
Well, that's a fair question. I think there's always, that challenge. Are we just preaching to the choir? And, of course, to some extent it is. The choir needs updated information. It's good to come together with others who share similar beliefs. But, the challenge is always, how do we break through to the remaining zombies that are still watching CNN, that are still watching ABC and NBC and CBS, Baker? And, I don't think any of us have that answer necessarily, or we wouldn't be in this mess as a country, right? So that's the challenge, and something that I think we all need to work on. But, I think there are really good things happening and really bad things happening. Yeah, the evil forces arrayed against our country are strong, and very powerful, but so are the American people. And again, I think that there is a real awakening happening now that you wouldn't understand from watching the fake media, but that if you go and talk to regular people, it'll become very quickly apparent that, you know what, mainstream America has realized that we're being lied to. They may not know all the details yet, but, you know, that's part of the reason for these rallies is, you know, get the people informed so they can go and share it with their churches, with their families, with their neighbors, with their communities, with their gun clubs. And, you know, it's just person by person. So we didn't get into this mess overnight. We're not going to get out of it overnight. So,
amen to that. And Dr. Bradley, I want you to respond to this, but I don't mean that to be a negative question to Alex. I don't mean that to be like a, hey, this is worthless or anything. What I really mean the question to drive to our listeners and to everybody everywhere is it all depends on what we do when we get home from these events, Dr. Bradley. The events are great. It's what we do when we get home that matters, Doctor.
There's no question. I mean, this isn't a meet, eat, and retreat kind of thing. This is a long haul. As Alex points out, we didn't get in this overnight. We're not getting out overnight. My problem, my concern, I mean, there's many concerns, obviously, but one of my grave concerns is that people will get frustrated and they'll go off half-cocked. I mean, you know, it's a terminology maybe even a lot today wouldn't understand. But this idea of ready, aim, fire is not where people are today. It's fire, ready, aim sometimes. Now, I will say this. Alex and I spoke at an event back in April, I believe it was, and then we had lunch together with some friends. I would say this. Alex is one of the good guys. He really, truly is, and he brings he brings a lot of very, very not only valid but motivating information to the whole game. And so this obviously is something that we're grateful that he's engaged in. One of the things that I've and again, I did a webinar last night, and you know, most of the people that participate in that are very, well, they consider themselves to be quite activist in this idea of restoring liberty. But it never ceases to amaze me how completely devoid of understanding even many that seem to be focused. And you probably have 3/4 of the people that are at your rally today that'll be in this category, I fear, where they lack an understanding of the strength of what is really involved in what we as a nation were originally established on. And fundamental principles, they get sucker punched all the time. We had a major question last night that I've spent probably 20 minutes on about something that is so fundamental to the to even continuing. People get up and they roll over and die because, and I guess that's what I'm going to say, and without going into all the details and taking up all the time, we need to help people understand the foundational things that we have got, the strengths that we've got. This Constitution, this multi-layered level of strengths, where we have everything from the family to our churches to our communities to our counties and states and on up, and this is a divided and subdivided power base. It's not a centralized monolithic thing like the Soviets did from the 1930s on with their five-year plans. They cannot constitutionally do what they're claiming they can do to us, but sadly, far too many Americans, I'll just take, for example, this January 10th meeting in Mexico City, where the three amigos got together down there, and people are all a Twitter about the fact, that's another poor term, a Twitter about the fact that it's over. Our Constitution's gone. They've blended our countries, and now we just the North American Union.
It's a tragic reality. Alex is live right now from the Reawaken American Tour. They're calling it Reawaken Nashville, Tennessee. Are you speaking there, Alex?
Briefly, yes.
And your speech will be on?
Well, all the things that we've been talking about right now. You know, and I think Dr. Bradley made a good point about this North American Union that's worth reiterating and emphasizing. Yes, you know, they're acting like their tyranny is in place and it's all over and you might as well just give up. I think that's a psychological operation designed to demoralize us. And We need to not succumb to that kind of stuff. As Dr. Bradley just pointed out, we still have multiple levels of protection. None of these things that they're perpetrating against us are constitutional. And so, you know, we need to start resisting at the local level, at the state level, and making clear that none of these things are authorized by the Constitution. That's one of the reasons I think it's so critical that we work to defeat these efforts to call constitutional conventions, because I believe that's one of the ways that they want to try to legitimize what they're doing. Yeah, right now they've got a lot of conservatives on board with this. I think they're not necessarily thinking through all the implications. Because, you know, they're thinking, well, hey, we're going to pass an amendment to limit the power of the federal government. The Constitution already drastically limits the power of the federal government. You know, we're not going to fix the issues by changing the Constitution, because none of these things are constitutional. The only thing that can happen then is we'll lose ground and they legitimize some of these abuses. Right now, we're in the right. Right now, all the things that these criminals are doing are flagrant violations of the supreme law of the land. If we allow our Constitution to be opened up for amendments and possible changes,
they will just codify their criminality is what will happen.
Precisely.
All right, what about this? What about this American Union that you mentioned, Dr. Bradley, and then that dovetailing into their meeting at Davos right now, right, Dr. Bradley?
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's all involved in this globalist movement. I mean, the idea of, for example, the North American Union thing, it's simply a manifestation of the regional arrangements that the United Nations Charter calls for and has been since 1945. All of these regional arrangements are happening. There's an effort to bring about a coup d'etat, is what actually the Davos people, the World Economic Forum people, call it. It's a kind of a silent behind the scenes where we have, I don't know what it is, like something like 52 heads of state and 600 CEOs that are gathered in Davos that are plotting to be their self-selecting mentors of everything that they want to have happen in the global government. And it's all just kind of moving in unison, but they can't do it. It's blocked by all our constitutional strengths.
All right, let's go ahead and skip the break. Alex, your response to Dr. Bradley. I think he's right, but Davos 22 is upon us, sir.
Yes, it is. And there's actually a direct relation between what just happened in Mexico City and what's happening in Davos. If you read Klaus Schwab's book on the Great Reset, which I recommend people do, it's a terrible book. It's full of garbage, but we need to know what the enemy's doing, right? As Sun Tzu explained, if you don't know your enemy and you don't know yourself, give it up. You already lost. And in his book, and on the Great Reset, he talks about, you know, people are really mad about globalization because during the pandemic, you know, global supply chains shut down and they couldn't buy their cheap Chinese junk. And so now we need an in-between solution, he calls it, right, as if national sovereignty was a problem. So he proposes the in-between solution is the concept he refers to as regionalization, as contrasted with globalization. And he gives the European Union as the premier example of this regionalization process. And he points to North America. And he says, look, America, the United States, Canada, and Mexico already trade so much with each other. They need to be more deeply integrated. And, of course, he didn't come up with this on his own, right? Klaus Schwab was actually recruited by Henry Kissinger. Henry Kissinger released a book in 2014 called World Order, where he outlined exactly the same strategy. He says, we can't just go straight for a world order. We're going to have to establish what he describes as regional orders throughout the world. And again, he cites the European Union as the premier example, and then relate these regional orders to one another until they ultimately culminate in a one world order. So that's the strategy they've been using. Long before Kissinger put that on paper, the U.S. State Department put it on paper in 1962 in a report authored by Lincoln Bloomfield called The World Effectively Controlled by the United Nations. His task, he was, of course, a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, one of the most dangerous subversive organizations on our shores. And he was tasked with coming up with a plan for how we could move from a world of basically sovereign nation states, as we had in the early 1960s, to a world effectively controlled by the United Nations. And he pointed out that wars and crises are very useful for that, but he said probably the fastest route to achieving a one world order controlled by the UN would be to establish these regional governments. So that's exactly what we're seeing. The Africans are having an African Union imposed on them right now. Putin is building a Eurasian Union. In South America, they're building the Union of South American Nations or South American States. It's called UNASUR or UNASUL in Spanish and Portuguese. Southeast Asia is being merged into the Association of Southeast Asian Nations. And so, you know, anybody who looks at this can recognize that the entire planet didn't just wake up one day and say, man, what do we need self-government for? Let's just merge into regional governments. Clearly, this is being imposed from the top. And obviously, the Great Reset is advocating this. Klaus Schwab is advocating this. And that's exactly what we saw take place in Mexico City, is another giant leap forward, forgive the pun, in this agenda to regionalize government and undermine our national sovereignty. Through and you know, for people who haven't been paying attention, they've already created these structures. We already have North American tribunals that purport to overrule state and federal courts. We've already got North American bureaucracies. Started with NAFTA, then this was expanded under the USMCA. So we're in a mess of trouble. But as Dr. Bradley pointed out, none of this is constitutional right now. Right? Even if the Senate had approved this and ratified it as required by the Constitution, which they have not, the U.S. government cannot grant itself powers that it doesn't have simply by signing up to a treaty. Thomas Jefferson pointed that out. In fact, the Supreme Court reconfirmed that in 1957 in the case Reed versus Covert. So this is a giant scam. These people need to be held accountable, and nobody should believe for one minute that any of these sovereignty-destroying measures have any legitimacy.
And they're using climate change now as one of the big pushes. They now say, just so you know, Dr. Bradley, that coffee... That's right. Coffee is contributing to climate change now. As Al Gore says, the seas are boiling, Dr. Bradley.
well, you, obviously, the fools are in charge. I mean, the buffoons and baboons, you know. Buffoons are kind of worthless, clumsy clowns, and baboons are a pack animal that's a predator, and they make a lot of noise. That's what we've got running the world today, is a bunch of buffoons and baboons. But yes, indeed, and in fact, I would recommend to all the listeners and go to the whitehouse.gov and look up the January 10th signing of this agreement between the three amigos down in Mexico City. And look at what the climate change is in there. They weave it into almost every aspect of what they're hoping to bring about. And they're committed again to the Paris Climate Accord. And all of these things are absolutely, completely, and totally devoid of any authority. As Alex points out, the Reed v. Covert case was one of the few things that the Warren Court did wisely. I would recommend reading that. You'll cheer all the way through it when it talks about the limits and bounds, whether it's an executive agreement, which this might be considered to be, or a treaty. It does not modify anything, any limits and bounds the Constitution puts on our government. There are checks and balances. There's separation of powers. It's delegated only to the degree it's delegated. The Tenth Amendment's very specific about that. There is no way in the world they can do, unless we're ignorant, stupid, or complicit and complacent enough to not stand in the way. If we act like it's true, sometimes they start saying, well, they've rolled over on this one. I just really briefly, I've got the United Nations Charter out, Chapter 8, Article 52, Clause 1. Nothing in the present charter, this is United Nations Charter, precludes the existence of regional arrangements or agencies for dealing with matters relating to the maintenance of international peace and security as are appropriate for regional action, provided that such arrangements are consistent with the purposes and principles of the United Nations. This is all dovetailing into a global government process, whether it's the rich and famous that are playing around in the ski slopes of Switzerland. And by the way, you mentioned climate. That's my entree here. You can't deliver these VIPs around in an electric car because they are so prone to break down in the cold weather that they might not get to their meetings on time. And so here's another testimony of the foolish vanity that is possessing these people.
Well, it's for me and you. It's for thee, not for them, or whatever you want to call it. Right? That's the problem with these people. Now, Al Gore's radicalism is on display at Davos, ladies and gentlemen. He got up and spoke and said the seas are literally boiling and everything else. Steve Bonta over at thenewamerican.com has some great info on that right now, while Alex Newman and others are at the incredible Reawaken America tour. So there's a lot going on, a lot to keep track of all at the same time, Alex. Speaking of that, the Supreme Court, they claim can't find the leaker. I don't buy it for a second, Alex.
Yep, I don't either. I'm sure they know who it is, and my guess is this was part of a much bigger operation than just one individual leaking, and maybe that's why it's not coming out. But, you know, to go back to the climate thing for a moment, the climate change narrative is one of the most important narratives that underpin this entire movement toward this one world order. It's one of the few things where they can genuinely claim this is a global problem. And that's been their mantra forever, right? These are not problems that a single nation can deal with. Global problems require global solutions. And so that's why this is so critical to their narrative. But I just published a major piece in the Epoch Times last week. I encourage people to go read it. You don't have to be a climate scientist to know that people who are peddling this narrative at the highest levels do not believe it themselves. There's a very simple way for determining that. And, you know, I've been going to these UN climate summits since 2009, fresh out of journalism school, and I've watched in horror as all this has happened. So I was in Paris in 2015 for the UN climate summit. And you had Obama come up and say, I'm going to slash the CO2 emissions of Americans by 28%. Right? That was his contribution under the Paris Agreement by the year 2025. Well, the Communist Chinese Party, which already, by the way, was emitting probably more than double the CO2 that the United States was, came up and said, well, we're going to continue increasing our CO2 emissions until maybe 2030, at which point we'll consider peaking them and then gradually declining from there, we hope. So, you know, think about this for 2 seconds. Again, you don't have to be a climate scientist. What is going to be the benefit for the alleged CO2 crisis of shutting down American industry, shutting down American manufacturing, and shipping all of that to China, where every unit of economic production is going to result in massively more CO2 in the atmosphere? If you truly believed that CO2 was pollution, that'd be literally the worst possible thing that you could do for the climate. So obviously the people who are engineering these policies do not believe CO2 is pollution. They're correct. CO2 is not pollution. It's plant food. It's the stuff we exhale. I interviewed Trump's climate advisor at a climate summit he and I both spoke at a few years ago. He said the planet is starving for more CO2, and the plants are designed to live in an atmosphere with 4 to 5 times as much CO2 as we currently have. So, the CO2 is not an actual pollution. The people peddling this, including Al Gore and the rest of them, must know this, right? That's why they fly around the world in their private jets without feeling guilty about it. And so we've got to debunk this. We cannot continue to say, well, that's not a good policy for dealing with climate crisis. We just need to say loudly and clearly, there is no climate crisis. You people are liars, and you all belong in jail.
You know, Sam,
Better myself, Dr. Bradley.
For a number of years, I was a department head and director in academe, and I had a lot of one-on-one time with different, preeminent people in the academic world. And while many of them fall real short of truly understanding a lot of issues, that's the nicest thing I can say. I had some time one-on-one privately with world-renowned upper atmosphere scientists, and just like Alex is saying here, there is absolutely zero indication that any of the things that they're whining, crying, wolf about, any of these are valid for any way, shape, or form. These scientists would privately discuss it with me, saying they're completely, they debunk everything. But here's what it comes down to. Their opinions are being purchased, and their opinions that are being molded by the money that's being handed out. I had one scientist tell me that if he went public with the information we were discussing, that he would never get another grant again. He would be completely shut off. His gravy train would end. And of course, he didn't use all these terms, but the big funding that he was getting for research. They're buying the results in their research is what's happening through the funding. And by the way, that's being done in many ways by taxpayer dollars. And so you and I are funding our own demise with what is
awesome?
Being focused on. It's absolutely weird.
Hey, let's get a final comment from Alex from the Awake America tour. We got to let him go at 30 after. Alex, final thoughts?
Well, I so appreciate you having me on, Sam. Thank you, Dr. Bradley. Always a pleasure to connect with you again. And, you know, I will say for the people out there who genuinely are curious about the science here, for the last 10 years, I've been interviewing some of the world's greatest scientists on this climate issue. I can't encourage you highly enough. If you're actually interested to go look at, you know, I've interviewed scientists who served on the UN IPCC, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, including some of their lead editors, who will tell you, and who told me on camera, again, you can go watch these, that this whole thing is a fraud. The UN is lying. They told them they couldn't publish this stuff in the UN IPCC reports, and they did it anyway. I interviewed the head of the IPCC C-level section. He said it's all a lie. So thanks for having me on, Sam. Always a pleasure. Thank you, Dr. Bradley. God bless you guys, and hopefully we'll catch up soon.
Amen to that. Thank you, sir. Travel safe. I'm telling you right now, watch The New American, The Epic Times, all of Alex's channels. Incredible reporting from Alex Newman on Liberty Roundtable Live. Dr. Bradley continues.
Bridie on Radio and BridieOnRadio.com.
This is an amazing company that has sponsored both of us. And this is a way to have backup communications when the grid goes down.
Well, the situation became problematic, Mike, with the New Orleans, the latest hurricane, because people panic. And this is one thing that I've learned from being associated with the satellite phone store for over a decade. People will call and order 600 phones at a time.
What?
It's like this, Mike. Anytime there is a crisis, people want these. And ladies and gentlemen, they've created such a good deal for Mike's viewers, my viewers, our combined viewers, that this is the only way you're going to be able to communicate.
And that's the other beauty about these phones, is they can't track you because it's not talking to a cell tower. It's talking to satellites, you know, orbiting over the equator. So SAT123.com, folks.
The U.S. prepares to bolster troops in Eastern Europe, and tensions build with Russia.
Secretary Austin has placed a range of units in the United States on a heightened preparedness to deploy, which increases our readiness to provide forces if NATO should activate the NRF, or if other situations develop.
We have been consulting with allies in deployments and refining plans for all scenarios. We've always said we would reinforce our allies on the eastern flank.
Stay up to date on Bridie on Radio.
Treasure Island coins and precious metals. Mike Adams of NaturalNews.com says 2020 has shown us that we must prepare for the unexpected. Gold and silver will be indispensable to your fiscal well-being during the coming financial pandemic. Shipments are delivered safely, discreetly, and securely right to your door. A precious metals IRA allows you to protect your retirement savings with the ultimate safe haven, assets of gold and silver. Gold and silver will be indispensable to your financial well-being. Your metals are held in the form of real coins and bars in an actual depository under your name and on your behalf. Simply visit BrideonMetals.com today. Gold and silver will be indispensable to your financial well-being. Shouldn't you at least look into it? Treasure Island coins and precious metals. We're here to help. Visit BrideonMetals.com today.
Take a stand against biased talk radio.
I'm going to take a strong stand against it.
And listen to Bridie on Radio, where we give you both sides of the story.
Thanks for your support of this platform. Use the code BTB at checkout for additional savings. BrideonStore.com.
Bridie on Radio and BrideonRadio.com.
Use promo code RADIO and get 2 months of payroll processing free. That's PatriotSoftware.com.
With PatriotSoftware.com, accounting and payroll, keep your time and money.
All right. It is Sam Bushman and Dr. Scott Bradley on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. I wanted Alex to be able to get a little bit in about the event that took place, or that's taking place now this weekend, really, in Tennessee. It's Nashville, Tennessee, the Awaken Tour. And, you know, hopefully people take back the information they learn and they don't just, you know what, meet, greet, eat, retreat. Hopefully they take back what they learn and literally dig in at the local level, the county and state levels, to really push for real, lasting, solid, towards the Constitution change, folks. That's what we got to have. So we thank Alex for reporting live. We talked about Davos a little bit, but not near enough, Doctor. Al Gore's radicalism on display at this thing is insanity. You've literally got this criminal activity going on globally, speaking against the United States and her sovereignty, really, is what's happening at this Davos event by all participants, really.
Well, it is a big gang up on the United States kind of thing. It is every time you get together with these things, whether it's the Paris Accords or you're looking at some kind of United Nations something, the Ukraine things. By the way, the World Economic Forum, Ukraine is strongly represented there, and they're asking for the help of everybody in the world about to help their regime to maintain its power. I mean, everything is a beat up the United States, virtue signaling, trying to get the United States into place, doing what they need to do. Al Gore and his absolute absurdity in what he talks about, the boiling oceans. I don't know where he gets this. But can I go back just for a second to the bottom of the hour, the news break? There was something that talked about how these mayors are getting together and we got to talk about immigration and all this Bravo Sierra that everybody's waving their arms about. It's a big problem. But just for a moment, I want you to understand what our feckless leader, Joe Biden. Now, feckless, it's, go read the definition. He's just, it's a very soft definition of him. He should be more aligned with feces instead of feckless. And they're not related, by the way, even though they may sound similar. But the fact of the matter is, he's there, and this is what he signed. Go to thewhitehouse.gov and read about immigration and development, what they signed on to. Just very briefly, read a few lines. Today marks, that's the 10th of January, the sixth-month anniversary of the Los Angeles Declaration on Migration and Protection. Okay, kids, how many knew about that? Think about what's going on behind the scenes. It's a bold new framework for regional responsibility. Okay, so these three countries made ambitious commitments under this Los Angeles Declaration, working together to advance labor mobility in North America, particularly regarding regular pathways, and have been delivering on these commitments. Since June, Mexico and the United States and Canada have collectively welcomed record numbers of migrants and refugees. It goes on to say about they're affirming our joint commitment to safe, orderly, humane migration under the Los Angeles Declaration. Just
and let's be clear, they're doing it criminally because it's against the current laws of the United States, Doctor.
It is. There's no question.
These criminals need to be put in prison. They don't have authority to do this.
They're criminals that are allowing it. This is an impeachable offense against the executive. I keep saying this.
Yeah, primarily it's Joe. But see, the Republicans don't have any guts. They're not even talking about impeaching Joe, are they really?
Well, there's a couple little nibbling around the edges. But listen to this.
but as a group, they are not.
You're right. But in this, going back to this paper for a second, that they signed on the 10th of January, they're expanding, I'm quoting from it, and promoting regular pathways for migration and protection. Okay, now you need to understand this incredible invasion that's going on right now is being fostered and encouraged by a feckless leader that has completely abandoned his oath to the Constitution. He's supposed to fulfill the laws that are passed by Congress. Congress, Article 1, Section 8, has the power to regulate these immigration and naturalization things. They have done so. We have the most generous immigration policies in the world. And the wheels have fallen off. We have an invasion of 5.5 million people during the first 2 years of Joe Biden's presidency that have just immersed themselves in the United States. They're voting. Don't lie to yourself, people. They are voting. They get a driver license. That's de facto citizenship. All of these things are happening. And as we look at this Declaration of North America, which is what they called this thing that they did in Mexico City, I'm just focusing on one thing. You get to the whitehouse.gov site and start reading what they have done just in this month. Just in this month. This isn't the only offense they've committed and the only effort that they're making. And it's published right on their site. I mean, it's
in a way, he's a feckless leader. I agree with you when it comes to defending the Constitution, which he's sworn to uphold and protect us from enemies, foreign and domestic. But he's far from feckless when it comes to destroying the country. But they're openly even referring to Kamala Harris as the president now. I don't know if you know, but this Jean Pierre press secretary refers to Kamala Harris as the president amid the Biden document scandal. She's literally reading. She's not making a Freudian slip. She's reading, and she refers to Kamala as president. This stuff is criminal, doctor.
Well, yeah, there's no question about it. 25th Amendment hasn't been invoked yet. But the fact of the matter is that, well, let's talk about that document scandal for a minute. I mean, here's Biden stonewalling everything. Oh, he's put a special investigator in the bowel somewhere of the Justice Department. They're flipping through some of these pages and looking at things. There's nobody's admitting this is another impeachable offense. This is probably the most red meat
egregious
kind
of them all. Because look, this is where they attacked Donald relentlessly. Now, when the shoe's on the other foot, look, right before the election, they knew about this. They withheld the information till after the election. Election fraud, ladies and gentlemen. And then when asked about it, Joe's like, I don't have any regrets. You guys are going to find nothing. It's a big old nothing burger. He has the audacity to say that. What are the Republicans doing? They're like, oh, we put good guys on committees. Okay. Yeah. Why don't you impeach this guy yesterday because the nation's at risk? Look, this is a national security crisis. Doctor.
It is, indeed. And yeah, I mean, let's compare and contrast. Okay, we had Hillary Clinton with her bathroom server that was all our high-secure State Department information was running through. I mean, I don't even know how we can go through this. I mean, having held security clearances and high-secure areas and everything else like that from my youth, I don't have any now, but the fact of the matter is, this is criminal. We knew the limits and bounds. Hillary Clinton did that in her bathroom with her server. I don't know if it was really in her bathroom, but that figuratively you can think of this. But then you get a Donald Trump thing. Now, Donald Trump, I'm not saying he was justified in any of the things he did. We don't know enough about that yet, but he was president of the United States. He had the power to declassify any and all information that came across his desk. It could have been done based upon his
authority. He also had the power to go after Hillary, and he didn't do it.
Exactly right. But so here we have Bill and Hillary. I get them all mixed up. Anyway, so here we have Donald. He could have declassified these and taken them out the back door of the White House. I don't know what really happened. But here we have Joe Biden, who was vice president, who had no authority whatsoever to not only take this off campus, if you will, but he couldn't have declassified. He was totally powerless to do this. This is, his attorneys have all but admitted he had criminal action in this thing. So what were they? They were in his garage with his Corvette. Oh, I had a lock on it. Hey, kids, it wasn't that long ago when I had the ability to get in.
But the drug guy Hunter was driving the Corvette now, we understand, too. So how locked was that, really, with the drug addict that basically was involved with prostitutes, lied about it, forced a DNA test, got caught with a love child, now trying to go to court, preventing the love child from taking the Biden name? These are the kind of securities we have in place, doctor.
Well, here's the deal. These documents are heavily focused on Ukraine. Okay, now remember the Biden-Ukraine connection. I'm not just talking about the Hunter Biden. I'm talking about the Joe Biden connection and how he leveraged his office over that issue. He took documents. They might be exactly pertaining to this. There are documents in there about Iran. At the Penn Library thing that they got, there were huge amounts. China contributed millions of dollars to the foundational establishment of that library, and there was China stuff in there. Now, remember, Joe and Hunter went to China. They negotiated big dollar deals with the Chinese. Now, I don't know what all went on. I'm just saying this is stuff that needs to be investigated. Here's the deal. What if they had high secure intel on China, and Hunter's there peddling it, going, you know, I've got some information here. How much is this worth to you? Blah, blah, blah. And then we know the big guy got cut in for a top 10%. Who's the big guy? It's Joe. People need to understand this is a crisis of national security. It's a crisis of complete violation. And here we have Joe Biden stonewalling everybody on this. He won't even let journalists ask him questions about it.
I've got more in seconds. Liberty Roundtable Live with the good Dr. Scott Bradley on your radio.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Live with Dr. Scott Bradley, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about this scandal with Joe and the documents. Joe says, hey, he's not really embarrassed. Joe says he's not really regretful. There's nothing there. It's all good. But the problem is, ladies and gentlemen, this is a disgrace. Believe it or not, even CNN now airs damning report. CNN airs damning report. You know what? That Joe did interact with Hunter's business associates despite Joe's denials. Literally, ladies and gentlemen, this is disaster, but it gets even worse. National security concerns over Joe Biden's classified document scandal just got much worse as two reports have now been released and emerged that it took place. Hunter Biden, it shows him at the Biden's Wilmington, Delaware residence. He was raking in millions of dollars from the Communist Chinese Party linked with business dealings while he had access to the Corvette, to the garage where they have these classified documents, doctor. This changes the game. But Republicans, what are they doing now? As far as I can tell, doctor, nothing. Sadly, you go to all the top news organizations and they're not drilling into this. They're not gearing up to investigate. They're not. They're just like, hey, you know, McCarthy kept his promise to go ahead and keep the good guys on committees. And then they're like, oh, this George Santos guy, he lied about everything and no big deal. And George Santos will serve on House committees despite all this, says or confirms Kevin McCarthy. George's mother was not in 9/11, like he said. Okay, this is just insanity. They're not even on the beat, doctor.
No, they're not. I mean, they're so far behind the curve, it's amazing. Maybe the word of the day is feckless. Go look it up, everybody, and figure out what a kind of worthless incompetence we've got generally here. Sadly, an awful lot of the Republican Party is very feckless, too. They will not appropriately defend the things that they took an oath to do so. But this. Let me just talk for just a second. I don't know how long we want to spend on this nonsense of this these documents. It absolutely is a disaster in the nation, and they're stonewalling at every turn. They say they've got this special investigator that's looking at it. So keep your mouth shut. He's going to find nothing. Everything will be good. Don't ask any questions. But here's the deal. Maybe there isn't anything there. Let's just suppose. Let's say there's everything there. Let's just suppose. Could be anything along the spectrum. But just maybe this is a shot across the bow for Biden, for him and all of those that are thinking he's going to take the 2024 election because he says, I want it. Now, this may be an opportunity that some in the deep state are taking to say, because we see, honestly, we are seeing the lame brain media, those they call them mainstream, but they're lame brain media. They are even turning, to some degree at least, CNN, you mentioned that report, on Joe Biden. So I'm just wondering, you know, qui bono, who benefits, that old Latin term. It's one of those things where you have to kind of wonder what's motivating things that are happening. Some of these things are just kind
the
of
the Democrats want the first woman of the White House to be followed up by Michelle Obama.
Well, that may or may not be true, and let's pray that it is not true. But the fact of the matter is, this may be something that they're saying, look, Joe, and his handlers, and those that are standing, you know, they're saying he ought to be, yeah, if he wants a second term, he ought to have it, kind of thing. They may be saying, look, guys, this is kind of possibly a big, big issue. So why don't we pick somebody else? And I think they're frantically looking around to who it might be. The new governor of Maryland has come up in conversation, but we don't need to go down that path. But there's a guy that's fully connected to the deep state and everything else about it. But the point of the matter is they are possibly saying to Joe and his handlers and his supporters, look, this is not going to work out for 2024. Because anybody in their right mind, which I know there's not a lot of people that are left that way, anybody with more than half a brain, let's say, which I know there's not a lot left anymore because of brain damage for oxygen deprivation. But the fact of the matter is the reality that Joe Biden could run and win a second presidency is absolutely, who would think that could happen? Where the guy has to sign the Declaration of North America we've been talking about with a crayon. I mean, I don't think he really did, but that's about where we are with the mental capacity. I mean, he might have used a red crayon because it was pretty. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, this may be a shot over the bow to say, you know what, we got to find somebody else for the presidency.
Well, and even if it is, though, what does that mean? Does it mean he gets impeached? Does it mean he goes away and Kamala Harris becomes an incumbent? Does it mean that, you know, what good is all this going to lead to for Republicans, even if they do manage to stop Joe from his criminal activity? Well, see, we've put ourselves in a very, very compromised position. Kamala Harris is a flat-out known communist.
Well, not only that, she's incompetent. I mean, I don't even want to get into how she's held most of all of her offices as she was so-called coming through the ranks. I mean, come on, people. Understand that a party girl does not have a place in these, you know, august positions. And you look at her cackling giggle and all that. I don't know if you even call it that. But how does she handle the immigration thing? Total disaster. Anything
she has
touched.
Well, what if she takes Stacey Abrams on as her VP pick and they commit election fraud and you get Kamala Harris and Stacey Abrams up there now?
Well, sure. And we could talk about Stacey Abrams. I mean, holy Hannah, this is somebody they've been grooming for so long, a perennial gubernatorial candidate, and she can't win in her home state. I mean, you look what's come out of Georgia in the past. I mean, Jimmy Carter couldn't win in his own state after his first election, for crying out loud. I mean, it's like, what are they doing? They're foisting complete buffoonery upon the nation, and we're stupid enough to buy it. And they get behind me. Well, it's like Reagan used to say, the 11th commandment is never say anything ill about a Republican. I mean, it was something like that. Speak no ill of Republicans or something. That's idiocy. The party is not the issue. This is life and death stuff for a nation. And, you know, when a nation starts to fall, they fall pretty fast. You look at what happened to Rome with, you know, you go back and read the decline and fall of the Roman Empire. These guys, they squandered. I mean, there was a pretty cool republic in Rome at one point. You know, the emperor takes over and the bread and circuses and the foreign wars and all of the debauchery. I mean, you know, it's like, oh, wait a minute. This is replaying in our country. And we read way too often Noah Webster's comments about the kind of people we get when we keep caring about who we're electing. And we, the people, are really complicit because we're complacent. So, yeah, these things are big things. And I just can't help but wonder if the Joe Biden document thing isn't setting up someone else to say, I'm going to step in, I'm going to take over, I'm going to be the new emperor. It's kind of what happened, maybe, in a way, when the French Revolution, the people got so sick and tired of the bloodbath, the debauchery, the complete heinous acts of everything that was going on in France. They said, please save us, please save us. And this guy named Napoleon steps out of the wings and he says, I can save you, but you've got to give me absolute power. I need to be emperor for life, you know, and they please take it and save us. They gave Napoleon the reins, and he led the bloodbath across Europe as he tromped around with his efforts to expand his empire. If people won't learn from the past, we're doomed to repeat it. And we see these things. I mean, I do. I look at history, and I try and collate parallelisms into different concepts that are happening, and I see things playing over and over and over again. And let's kind of take this back to a spiritual realm. That's how Satan works. He plays the same game over and over again, and we as humans are stupid enough to step in the same traps. He's got the same traps he plays for each generation.
Over and over. But you know what? Even Pope Francis delivered a profanity-laden speech to seminarians in Barcelona. He basically said, hey, you need to forgive everybody, even if they don't want to repent. And he delivered a profanity-laced message there. I'm just not comfortable with this, Doctor.
His Holiness? Now, come on. Now, there are a lot of good Catholics out there
that are very
concerned with the man that's at the head of their church right now.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of churches that we're concerned about that have got somebody there that's remaking it in their own image. And you look at the history and background of Pope Francis, it's like,